The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Israeli forces intercepted a Gaza-bound aid boat, preventing the activists on board, including the Swedish campaigner Greta Thunberg, from entering the waters around Gaza. The Madeleine was 100 kilometres from reaching the blockaded Palestinian territory when the interception took place. The Israeli Ministry for Foreign Affairs says the Madeleine's crew is being taken to Israel after Israeli commandos seized the vessel in international waters. The Madeleine had departed from Italy on June the 1st to bring awareness to the food shortages in Gaza. I'm joined now by Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So this was an inevitable interception, was it not?
Absolutely. Are we surprised? Israel mobilized 200 special forces commanders in the past few days. The Israeli government has been engaged in a propaganda campaign to discredit the 12 activists, to demonize them, to dehumanize them. The Israeli defense minister called them anti-Semitic and pro-Hamas. Here's what it is, Pat. If you call for humanitarian aid and food and medicine to reach the 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza, then you are called by Israel an anti-Semitic. And if you say free Palestinians from military occupation, you become pro-Hamas. But the reality is the people in the world are not dumb. The surveys, the polls in the world, in Europe, in the heart of Europe, in Germany, in France, in the UK, in Ireland, show that this is really a steep decline in public opinion of Israel, even in the United States. But the big point here is that the aid boat has delivered a powerful moral message to the world, drawing attention to the plight of the Palestinians who are starved and basically battered by Israel for the past 19 months.
Now, the message from Israel is that these 12 people will be obviously allowed to leave ultimately and go home to their home countries. But before they do, they will be shown videos of what happened on October the 7th.
Absolutely. Keep in mind that several ambassadors, European ambassadors, have been treated like this by Israel in the past 19 months because of their mild criticism of Israeli war crimes in Gaza. What Israel is trying to do now is to really basically send a propaganda message to discredit and to humiliate the 12 activists. I mean, look, Pat, and I don't exaggerate in what I say. These 12, souls, brave souls, represent the best humanity. They really humble all of us, including me. They have risked their lives in order to deliver a bit of humanitarian aid to the people who are starved in Gaza. And the reality is, regardless of what Israel does, to come back to the point, Israel has lost the campaign for the hearts and minds of people in the world. Israel is on the wrong side of history. Israel has violated humanitarian law numerous times. Israel has committed war crimes numerous times. More than 54 Palestinians have been killed in the past 19 months. Israel has become a rogue state in the eyes of the world, not because I say so on your radio show.
Do you think that the Israelis on this occasion have miscalculated? I mean, the activists themselves have a very high profile. Obviously, they didn't open fire on the vessel, but they certainly made sure that it didn't deliver its aid and therefore brought it to Israel rather than to Gaza. And they said to them, if you want to do aid, there's a way to do it. You can bring it to Israel and go through the proper channels or to Egypt and it'll get through, which is a bit of a nonsense, of course, because the Israelis have spent so much of their time blockading Gaza. And also even the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation has, from time to time over the last couple of weeks, stopped delivering aid for various excuses. So the idea that if you have aid, you give it to the Israelis or whoever and it'll get there, no one really believes that.
Absolutely. No one believes that. But the big point here, Pat, is that the Israeli government no longer really cares. I mean, think of what Israel has been doing in the past 19 months. Think of the war crimes. Think of the outcry of the world. Think of how they basically using starvation as a weapon of war. Think of how many civilian children, think of 16,000 Palestinian children who have been killed. Think of how many Palestinians have been killed in the past few days. They're stuck. They're trying to get some aid, even by Israeli-managed and dominated food agency. I know this comes across as Israeli bashing. I am not really engaged in delivering a political point. This is the situation is really much more severe and catastrophic for the Palestinians. Israel really basically now is bearing, has been burying its head in the sand. It's really is living outside history.
There was a government. Yeah, there was a feature in the Irish Times here on Saturday written by a journalist who lives in Israel, is married to an Israeli and has a something of a background associated with that country, but an Irish journalist nonetheless, who contrasted the people, including himself, who would recline on the beaches of Israel when just 100 kilometres away there's this catastrophe unfolding, and the disconnect that is there and the denial that is there in the greater Israeli population as to what the government is doing in their name.
It truly is. And when I say that Israel really lives outside history, Israel lives in a bubble, including a large section of its population. The last survey that we have seen by an American university shows a large percentage of the Israeli public, between 82% and 58%, who basically condone ethnic cleansing and the crimes that committed by their army. And this really raises the question, what do you do? Where's the international community? Where's the Security Council? Where's the conscious humanity? And we know, Pat, that the only person in the world, the only human being that who could put an end to this catastrophe is Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has chosen so far not to exert pressure on Netanyahu, and that's why Netanyahu and his extremist coalition members keep doing what they are doing. But the final point on this is that the aid boat won't be the first or the last. You're going to see many freedom boats trying to reach Gaza and deliver moral messages to the world and to Israel and the Palestinian population that we are with you, we are thinking about you, we have not forsaken you. This is a very, very important message for the Palestinians who are resisting this kind of really, I mean, crime committed by Israel.
Now, I've been thinking about this a lot over the weekend and thinking of the charges of anti-Semitism, which Netanyahu and his administration frequently lodge against people who criticize what they're doing. And it strikes me that if there is a rise in anti-Semitism, Netanyahu himself is fueling that rise by always conflating anyone who's anti his administration with being anti-Jewish, which is not the case. Again and again on this program, we have been talking to people who say, look, I'm not anti-Jewish, I'm not anti-Semitic, but I am very much anti what Netanyahu and his administration is doing. And anyone who says that will be labelled anti-Semitic by the Israelis. Therefore, by conflating his administration with essentially with Judaism, he's creating anti-Semitism.
I mean, it's not just people in the world who are saying don't really weaponize anti-Semitism. Don't really, politicize anti-Semitism. I mean, the Holocaust was the greatest crime in world history. Anti-Semitism is evil, period. But many Israelis, it's not just you and I, in Israel, including top thinkers and former security officials, are basically warning the criminal-led government of weaponizing anti-Semitism, of fueling anti-Semitism. I fear, I really do. I fear that what Netanyahu and his extremist coalition members are pouring gasoline on a raging fire in the world today. And our job, you and I and all of us, to warn against racism, to warn against anti-Semitism. The Jews have nothing to do with Benjamin Netanyahu and his killers are doing in Palestine. Period. The Jews have nothing to do with it. In fact, it's Israel that's committing a collective punishment policy against the entire Palestinians. And we, the people of the world, including the Arabs and the Muslim in particular, and the Palestinians, must be at the forefront against any kind hint or insinuation of anti-Semitism.
Some of the listeners have been participating here. Can Fawaz explain why Hamas will not release all the hostages, which would therefore force Israel to stop or at least pause, because their justification for what they're doing would be taken away?
I mean, there are several points about this. Hamas has made it very clear repeatedly in the past 19 months it would like to release all the hostages, a comprehensive settlement, that they want, Hamas wants Israel to end the war, period. So Hamas is on record. Hamas is desperate to end this particular war and to release all the hostages. And just a little footnote, Hamas should not have taken the hostages in the first place. The second point, even if Hamas releases all the hostages today, Benjamin Netanyahu has repeatedly said that he will not end the war. He will not end his occupation of Gaza. His overarching strategy is not just to get the hostages, but to basically ethnic cleanse the Palestinians from Gaza. They have made it repeat, he and his extremist coalition. So let's make it very clear. What's happening in Gaza today is no longer about Hamas and the hostages. Israel's war is against the Palestinians. Israel's war is to reoccupy Gaza. You know, ideally, from their point of view, is to bring President Trump's vision to reality. That is really to force the Palestinians to displace the Palestinians from Gaza.
Fawaz, thank you very much for joining us on the line. Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. More comments. Jens in Clonakilty says, Netanyahu claims he wants to save the state of Israel. In reality, he is destroying his country. Another one says, though, I believe Greta Thunberg was rightly denied entry to Gaza. If her and her crowd of left-wing woke activists were serious about wanting to feed the starving multitudes, they would not have arrived with just a token amount of food. This was not an exercise to feed the people, but an opportunity to carry her left-wing agenda. Otherwise, it would have been ordinary people on board instead of a boatload of activists. That's from someone called Paul. The point was, they didn't know. They didn't think for even if they had the thing full to the gunnels with food, it would have only been a drop in the ocean. This was making a moral statement about the starvation that is going on in Gaza and trying to bring the world's attention to it. And in that event, they were successful. They never really had any hope of doing a major amount of good in Gaza. But I want you to listen to something that we found online. And this is a young Palestinian boy from Gaza. He talks about losing his mother. He's only about 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. Israeli forces open fire at civilians who are waiting for food at the U.S.-Israeli aid distribution point at Al Alam roundabout in Rafah. And this is just after he knows his mother has been killed and he's wondering what has happened to his brother. He is utterly emotional, and we have it in translation, a kind of a sober translation we have provided for you, but you can hear the passion in the young boy's voice. And it's as inevitable as night follows day that that child, now 10 or 11 years old, will be for life an implacable enemy of Israel. Have a listen.
Arab states, look at us. We are not to be humiliated. We are human beings just like you. We cannot find a way to live nor to eat or drink. We are the people of Gaza standing firm until the day of judgment. And I say to the Israeli army, you can't break the people of Gaza. The people of Gaza draw their strength from God. Your strength comes from weapons. Our strength is in God. Our teacher told us the Israeli strength is nothing. We are stronger than them. When we came at them at the fence like this, we came with force. We charged at them. They couldn't handle us. We are a great people, but we say to every person in Gaza, don't go, because the occupier is a liar. The press people like you came, Hamas came, and the brothers came. Not a single Arab regime responded to them. To this day, we're the ones being hit. Where is Gaza now? In the north, south, and center of the Strip, wherever you can imagine, Gaza is besieged. But despite their strength, they can't overcome us. We are a great people. I say to the people, don't go. To hell with the aid packages. Nothing good comes from them but humiliation. Either it comes with dignity or not at all. My mother went, and before her, my brother. Fahd as well. Only God knows who's next. Right now, we can't even guarantee our own lives. But I say to America and to all the Arab states, we will not be humiliated and we will not surrender our dignity. If you open the crossing for us, God will reward you. But we don't want to go through your schemes. May God reward you. We follow the route just like they tell us to. Liars. You follow the path and the person next to you dies. Or your mother dies. Your brother dies. Even doctors, whom killing is forbidden, are being killed. They bomb the Red Cross. They bomb the ambulance and the civil defense. There's nothing they haven't bombed. Where is this happening? If it was one place in Israel and they threw a rocket at them, the world would turn upside down. Are we really that cheap to you? If a dog dies in Israel, they turn the world into chaos. We traveled from Khan Yunis to Rafah, me and my mom at 8 o'clock. We reached Al Alam roundabout in Rafah. My dad followed her at 1 a.m. This bag and this sack of flour, one sack for my dad and one for me. We weren't holding anything, not even a pistol, and we weren't going to fight. We are civilians, not soldiers. If some of them were soldiers and you were killed, you'd ask, why was he targeted? Would you allow your children to be treated like this? When we arrived, we were waiting. Gunfire started in the safe zone. We didn't know what was going on there. We were just civilian children. There wasn't a single soldier who went there. No one even scratched them. They started kicking people out for no reason. My mum headed towards Al Alam, arrived there at 2 a.m. And by 3 a.m. she was killed. Now my dad is calling my brother, Abdul Rahman. He's shouting Abdul Rahman, but there's no reply. He feels that my mum is dead and my brother is alive. But no one said anything. No one did anything. Now we're searching for them among the people, and my dad is searching in Rafah. We can't find them. Where are the Arab countries to hear us? We raise our voices to the Arab countries, to the Muslim nations.
It's an extraordinary piece of video which you can find online, and we'll put it on our website so you see the original and the passion of the young boy. As I say, he's only 10 or 11 years of age. He's lost his mother, probably lost his brother, his father searching in the rubble for their bodies. And the things he says, nothing good can come from the aid packages but humiliation. If you're going to feed us with dignity. And maybe another question for Fawaz another day is, what are the other Muslim nations doing about it? Why do they not heed the calls of the Palestinians in their terrible plight today?
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.